Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 19th of Kislev. Today we're going to learn from the Tzitzit Eliezer in the 8th volume of Tzitzit Eliezer, Siman Hey, response number 5. A question of whether we can wear or carry tefillin on Shabbat and when. And the question came, we find out at the end of the tshuva, he addresses to a Rav Gadol, a great rabbi in Chutz Laaretz, but we eventually find out it's in Johannesburg, South Africa. And he is a teacher of tefillin. He teaches kids how to put on tefillin for their bar mitzvah. And it's dated the 19th of Kislev of Tav Shin Chav Gimel, the fall of 1962. So he's writing to this man in Johannesburg, whose job it was, or part of his job, was giving lessons to bar mitzvah boys in how to put on tefillin. And they were all in school for so much of the week that they didn't have time during the week to come for lessons about putting on tefillin. It's not said in the tshuva, and in the tzitzit doesn't question it at all. He just assumes it to be true, but I wonder about it. It could be they were boarding all during the week and they're only at home over Shabbat and they go back on Sunday. But it's always a question in these kinds of issues is whether you accept people, take people at their word, or whether you question the premises. But here the premise is they don't have time during the week to come to the shiurim. That also could have just meant they're not willing to come during the week. But in any case, his only opportunity to teach these boys how to put on tefillin is on Shabbat. And the problem is, as the Tzitzit Eliezer points out early on in the tshuva, is that Shulchan Aruch seems to rule in Orach Chaim Lamed Aleph, in chapter 31 of Orach Chaim, that Shabbat and Yom Tov are times when we're not allowed. It's Asur Laniach Tefillin. You can't wear Tefillin. And the reason is Shehem Atzmam Ot, Tefillin are a sign, as well as, I'm sorry, that not Shehem Atzmam, that those days, Shabbat and Yom Tov, are a sign of our covenant with Hashem. Right, Hashem says, "Ot b'nei v'imini Yisrael." They're a sign, a covenant, a sign of our covenant with Hashem. So, if we put on another sign of a covenant, tefillin, it's a zilzul. It's sort of a denigration of that oath, because it's as if we need to wear tefillin to show that we have a covenant with Hashem when the day itself. So that's what's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. If that's what's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that's the rule in Shulchan Aruch, we would have assumed that that means you can't teach kids how to wear tefillin because they can't put on the tefillin. When you're teaching them how to wear the tefillin, they're putting on the tefillin, you can't put on the tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's what it would seem to be the problem. In addition, the Ramah later on in Or Chaim, in Shin Chet, in 308, paragraph 4, says that we're not allowed to move, carry tefillin, right? Tefillin, ein letaltalam. They're like a form of a muktzah, so probably because you're not allowed to wear them, so they become muktzah, and therefore you're only allowed to move them so that they don't get stolen. Or let's say they're in the sun and you're worried that the beating of the sun will in some way damage them, either to damage the leather, damage the boxes, maybe damage the parchment inside, but it'll damage them. So then the Ramah says you can remove them, whereas the Taz and the Magen Avraham say that that's not good enough, that those aren't good enough causes, because they think that they're even more muktza, and therefore, since they're muktza in a real way, then it's like a klisha malachto le'isir, it's like an item whose main use is for something prohibited on Shabbat. So in those situations, we generally say you can only move them letzorech gufo u'mekomo. If you need their place for some reason, they're in a place that you need the place, or you need to use them, you can make use of the item itself in a way that's not prohibited, even though it's generally prohibited. If I can find a way to use it that's not prohibited, then I can move it as well. If that's true, it means like, according to the Magen Avraham and the Taz, you certainly couldn't put them on, because not only can you put them on, you can't even touch them, you can't even move them. Even according to the Ramah, so to say that to move them in order to learn for another day, right? Meaning these are bar mitzvah boys, they're not yet bar mitzvah. So they're not learning for to be able to do the mitzvah right now, especially since it's no mitzvah right now because it's Shabbos or Yom Tov. So to say that they're going to move them on Shabbat, to take them to the class, to the shiur, to learn about how to wear them, and that wearing them is for some future point when they become a bar mitzvah, so the Tzitzit Eliezer says, that doesn't seem to be a tzorech, a need that fits even the Ramah's categories. I mean, the Ramah had broader categories. If you're worried about theft, he allowed moving them. If you're worried about damage from the sun, he allowed moving them. But all those were immediate needs. Those were needs that were relevant to that day itself that permitted the moving of the items. That's not the case. That's not the case with moving them in order to bring them to a class to learn how to wear them. But the rabbi who wrote him the letter had offered an idea about why they might be mutter. And this is, to me, a continually interesting phenomenon in terms of people who ask, if I'm, you know, I'm turning to a gadol and I'm saying, I wonder about this topic, and then I share with him my ideas. So there are cases where it's not so strange, right? You have cases where somebody is a recognized authority in a certain field, but they turn to the broad gadol, to the person who is an acknowledged giant of Torah learning in all areas. So if that person raises issues to talk about it and shows the issues the way he's thinking about it, I sort of understand it. But it's not only those kinds of people who do it. And I think it might be, I was thinking about it as I was reading this tshuva, that's why I'm sharing it now, I think it might be because you want to make clear that it's not like you're just turning to the Tzitz Eliezer without even bothering to do any research on your own. Meaning, you know, if something's explicit in Shulchan Aruch, right? If it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch a certain way, then to call Rabbi so-and-so, if you're a rabbi too, look it up. You know how to learn a little bit. Look it up. So if somebody who's completely unlearned comes and doesn't have an idea of where to look things up, that's one thing. But if I'm a rabbi in a community, if I'm a rabbi who's gone to yeshiva for many, many years, so, you know, I should bother these people. These people have busy lives. If I never asked them a question again, they'd find things to do with their time. So I think that might be part of it as well. And I want to make clear that I've thought about the issue a little bit, and I'm just trying to check in and see where I've gone right, where I've gone wrong, and that's what's going on. So this rabbi had written to him that there's a Tosos in Gemara in Beita, meaning he's not selling the Tosos, oh, you know there's a Tosos. He's saying, this is the way I'm thinking about it. There's a Tosos in Beita that says, well, it's true. The Shabbat and Yom Tov are not the time for tefillin. That nonetheless, Tosot holds, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to put them on. It means that it's not the time for tefillin, but there might be other reasons to put them on that maybe makes it okay. So if that's true, then there's no particular prohibition for these bar mitzvah boys to put them on. It's not a chilul, it's not a desecration of the day to put them on. And aside from whether or not you hold like that Tosot, you follow that Tosot, maybe we disagree, but we think there is a prohibition. As we said, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say you're not allowed to. But the Magen Avraham had noted and said that if a person puts on tefillin shelo l'shem mitzvah, that there's no prohibition. Meaning, let's say I have some other reasons to put on the tefillin. An example is there's a Gemara in Shabbos somewhere, a Mishnah in a Gemara in Shabbos somewhere that talks about, let's say I find tefillin somewhere and there's no Eruv, and if I leave them there, there's likely to get damaged or get lost. So there you're allowed to wear them into a place where there's an Eruv or into a house and then take them off and put them aside. So that would be an example of, and the Magen Avraham makes it a general principle, if I'm putting on tefillin but not for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, so then they're not serving as an oath, I don't have any intention, they're serving as an oath, as a sign of a covenant, so then it's not a zilzul to Shabbat, it's not a denigration of Shabbat that I'm wearing them, and then there doesn't seem to be a problem in Isser. The Be'er Halacha in Siman Lamed Aleph makes clear that if you're allowed to wear them for any reason, then there's also not going to be any muksa issue. Right? The whole question we spoke about before is that not only are you can't wear them, they also become muksa, and you have to wonder whether you're allowed to carry them or move them. So that's only, the Be'er Halacha says, in a situation where you can't wear them. But if you can wear them, you can move them as well. And he cited the Gra also, the Vilna Gaon was also makil in that way. He felt lenient in that way. And the Magen Avraham elsewhere also says, Prashites Poskim, who say in general that they might be allowed betiltal, you might be allowed to carry them, and therefore that would be a problem. And this Rav was writing to the Tzitz Eliezer, says, so all of that would seem to be at least enough justification to allow teaching these boys for their bar mitzvah lessons. Because after all, we want them to know how to wear tefillin, and if you could put them, if we said that there are reasons that allow putting them on, and we said that if there are reasons allowed putting them on, or the Magen Avraham holds that if you put them on not for the mitzvah itself yet, that would be enough, and that all of that would then allow carrying them as well, or moving them as well, so that all should work together. And that's what he writes. So he says, you're saying well, he says, Shapir Kamar, that's where I think the phrase comes from, Shapir Kamar, you said, Shapir means something nice or good, you're saying good, right? That's the, it's not English, but you're saying good becomes a phrase from this kind of a Hebrew phrase. When, you know, people who are thinking in Torah language, say it that way. She's saying good. But then he says, but I wonder why you sort of stretch so far, because the truth is that the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Yosef Karo, in another one of his works, the Beit Yosef, the commentary on the Torah, in Beit Yosef to Shin Chet, he also writes that tefillin aren't mux at all. The Ramah had said that you have to worry about moving them. He didn't say they're mux. He said you have to worry about moving them if they're not allowed to be worn. But the Beit Yosef himself said that they're not mux at all because, and then in the Shulchan Aruch, when he mentions all the laws of Muktzah, he goes through Muktzah at some length. He doesn't mention the whole idea of carrying tefillin. So Tzitzit says he thinks you should be able to infer from that the Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, did not hold that tefillin are Muktzah, because otherwise he should have said it. And so too, he says there's a sefer called Shvilei David. Shvilei David too says that if somebody's putting on tefillin, like the Magad Avraham, he's putting on tefillin not for the mitzvah, and has no intention of fulfilling a mitzvah, then there's no prohibition. And therefore, if it's no prohibition, he says tefillin become a kli shemelachto leheter, because, so it's an interesting question, right? They're an item that can be worn. They can be worn l'shem mitzvah or shelo l'shem mitzvah. L'shem mitzvah is a problem, but shelo l'shem mitzvah is not a problem. Therefore, he thinks that there's no problem of muktzah as well. And there's also a lavush, who gives us another way to think that this might be okay. Navush in Shin Chet as well, which is, Navush is written very soon after the Shulchan Aruch, right around that same time period, so it's considered fairly authoritative. The Navush says that tefillin, even though you're allowed to wear them, he says, nonetheless, you shouldn't carry them ki'im le'tzorech, unless you have some need to. Kevan, this is where the Levush writes it, Kevan she'ktsat huksu le'miktzato. They're a little bit set aside for their mitzvah. The Shabbat ain't tzarich out, and Shabbat doesn't need any sign of a covenant. So the Tzitzit says it's an odd language that he uses. Why does he say huksu ksat l'mitzvato? This idea of huksu l'mitzvato means there are certain times when if something is set aside for a mitzvah, that's the only use you're allowed to make of it. So for example, on Sukkot, we're not allowed to use an etrog for anything other than its mitzvah because it's huksu l'mitzvato. Same thing is true on Sukkot, let's say about schach. If schach falls off, and you intend it to be up there for all of Pesach, for all of Sukkot, it's muktzah in some way. You can't then use it for something else over the course of Sukkot. So that's the idea of huksal and miktzatah. So the Levush doesn't say that tefillin are huksal. You could have said tefillin are for the mitzvah of tefillin, and that's all they are, and therefore they're necessarily a muktzah all of Shabbos. But that's not what the Levush says. He says it's huksah ksat and miktzatah. It's a little bit huksah. Why is that? And Shabbat doesn't need a covenant sign, so therefore, and that's how he stops. So Tzitzit is trying to understand what he means. If Shabbos doesn't need an oath, doesn't need a sign of a covenant, and therefore you're not allowed to wear tefillin, and then it seems like it's completely a muktzah. So he says you can understand it if you look back at what the Levush himself wrote earlier in Siman Lamed Aleph. He says that Shabbos and Yom Tov are also considered an oath, like we've seen before, and the Levush writes, Shalafichach Asr, therefore you can't put on tefillin. And he writes, V'chol HaMiniach L'Shem Mitzvat Oat. Somebody puts it on for the sake of having a sign of a covenant, that's being mizalzel, that's denigrating Shabbos, that's acting disrespectfully towards Shabbat and Yom Tov. And then he adds, She'aseichel notein, she'im yanichem haveikim evaze, uchim morid ba'adono. That's not a full quote, I skipped pieces in there, but that if he puts it on, it's a easily understood idea. If he puts them on for the sake of an oath, it's like you're mistreating Shabbat, and like you're rebelling against your master, because Hashem said Shabbat and Yom Tov are a sign of the covenant, so you don't need it. And it seems like you don't want that sign. Here I have a sign of the covenant, Shabbos and Yom Tov, and I'm not violating those days, but I want my own sign of the covenant. He says there's no greater rebellion than that, and therefore that person deserves a punishment. So we'll go over to this in a second, but let's just pause to make sure we've caught the implication of what Levush is saying. Levush is saying that if Hashem says this is the way the world should work, and I say no, this is the way the world should work, that's a rebellion against Hashem, and that's a deep problem in my religiosity. So for somebody, and it's in this case, it's a person who seems to be being very firm. Somebody would say, I want to have the oath of Shabbat, and the fact that the Torah and Halacha tells me that I have this other oath now, and I don't need that oath, that's not good enough. I still want the oath of Shabbat. That, he said, not only is it correct, it's rebellion against Hashem. It's a refusal to accept what Hashem tells us is the right way to serve Hashem. But I think that's a very broad question that comes up very often. The question of, are we willing to accept the way Hashem tells us we're Hashem? Or to say, no, I know better. And there are all sorts of ways in which we'll fool ourselves to think, you know, this person would never say that. We never say, I know better. He'll just say, but I just love tefillin so much. Or he'll just say, I can't imagine that Hashem wouldn't want me to put on tefillin. There's no such way. All those issues, the Levush is saying, if we think about them more carefully, we realize that they come out much differently than we think they do. In any case, from reading that, the Tzitzit Eliezer says, Hare Lamadnu, Tidavka kishaminech tefillin l'shem mitzvat otu demizalzel. Now that's even going further than the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham said if a person puts on tefillin shelo l'shem mitzvah, not for the purpose of the mitzvah, then it's not a deep violation, a problem of Shabbos, because I'm not doing it for the mitzvah and I might not get the mitzvah. The way the Levush said it, it would be even a step further, meaning according to Levush, let's say I put on tefillin and I don't realize that tefillin are an oat. I realize tefillin are a mitzvah. I know that Jews put on tefillin every morning and I know that they're a mitzvah and I like fulfilling mitzvot and I know they're a mitzvah. Somebody says to me, oh, we don't put on tefillin on Shabbos. So I think that means, maybe in my head, I think that means you don't have to. And a lot of people, if they don't have to, they say not to, when I say, but I love it, so I want to put it on. But I don't realize, I don't know that whole conflict. Or I know there could be a conflict, but I say, but I'm not doing it as an oat. I'm just doing it because there's a nice mitzvah and I want to keep that mitzvah. The Levush seems to say even that might be okay. As long as I don't have any intent of the oat aspect of it, of the sign of the covenant aspect of it, then I'm okay. And then that would explain why we'd be allowed to do it, because there's so much room to wear them. Because then it's not wearing tefillin, it's not even wearing tefillin as a mitzvah that's a problem. It's only wearing tefillin as a mitzvah and as a sign of a covenant. Now, generally, they all come together. But then he specifically says to himself, I love wearing tefillin. I really feel bad not wearing my tefillin. And I am not doing it as a sign of the covenant at all. That is not for today. And they say that out loud and they fully intend it. According to Levush, it's not a problem. So then that would mean that there's no problem in carrying them either, because if I say that you're going to carry them because there's a problem, so he says, so that's why he has to say, I'm sorry, that's why he has to say, nonetheless, there's a problem in carrying them, unless you're doing it for this reason, because because in general, when people wear tefillin, they wear tefillin for the purpose of being a sign of the covenant, and that's a problem on Shabbos. But it's only a little bit, because there's lots of ways you can wear tefillin where it's not a prohibition, and you're not violating anything, and all of that leads it to the answer to say that it would certainly seem to carry over into our case, that if you have a need and you're wearing it, you're not wearing it for sure, not wearing it. So you could say, in some sense, you're wearing it for the mitzvah because you're trying to teach these kids how to wear it for the mitzvah. So you're doing it for the mitzvah, but you're certainly not doing it for an oath in any way. So the Levush is helpful in that. And then he adds that when the Levush says they are hooked to ksat lemitzvatan, they're a little bit Hoksu lemitzvatan, and that what the Levush means, maybe he says, that there's other things to do with tefillin. Mostly we wear them. But another thing to do with tefillin is to look at them and to learn from the looking at them how you make proper batim, how you make proper containers for the parchment scrolls, how you make the shin on the side, how you tie them. These are things that most of us don't pay a lot of attention to and don't deal with a lot, but those are other elements of it. And he and the Tzitzit suggests that that's what the Levush meant as well, that it's not completely Muktzah LeMitzvatan, because that's not their only purpose right now. It's their central purpose, and that's why there's a Muktzah issue that comes up, but it's not their only purpose. And then that would mean that if they're not fully Muktzah, that if we have any valid reason to carry them on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, we would be allowed to, because they're not fully Muktzah, they're only sort of Huktzu Lemitzvatan. Mahari Bruna had something very similar, that since we can learn several halachos from the kesher, from the knots in the tefillin, on the knot on the hand tefillin, the knot on the head tefillin, from the straps, he says, therefore, you're allowed to carry tefillin even if you don't have the need to save it from a fire, or that it's in a place where somebody will mistreat it. The usual reasons given for allowing us to carry and move books items, he says, you don't need that, because as long as you're moving it for a purpose, it's a valid Shabbos purpose, like learning Torah and learning in practice the halachos of it, Mari Bruna felt that was sufficient to allow us to carry the tefillin on Shabbat or Yom Tov. Tzitzit notes that he had made a similar point about carrying a get on Shabbat. And normally in the Ramah, that normally a get, we think of a get meaning a bill of divorce. We think of it as muktzah because we don't execute divorce. We don't have divorces occur on Shabbat or Yom Tov. But there's a similar idea, because there are many halakhot one can learn from studying a get, from looking at it, reading it, and understanding how it was written. So that process of Torah study is relevant to Shabbat and Yom Tov. And since it is, that might be okay. So it's a similar idea, that even things that are fundamentally muktzah, meaning they're fundamentally not to be moved because they don't have any real purpose on Shabbat or Yom Tov, nonetheless, we are allowed to move them if we find other valid purposes, because we can, because they have a valid purpose. And the source for the original Ramah that we started with, that said you're not supposed to wear them and you can't carry them and you can't move them, was a Trumat HaDeshen. And the Trumat HaDeshen was asked about the fact that people refrain from touching or carrying tefillin on Shabbos. And they asked, the question was, is that because there's a real prohibition or not? And he answered, he said, no, he thinks that you can move them if you have any kind of a need. And he quotes a Mishnah in the first chapter of Masechet Beitzah, which says that we can send tefillin on Yom Tov to... So it's actually, as far as I can tell, it's a Gemara in Beitzah on Tedvav and Aleph that I could find, but it's about sending as gifts and stuff. And the point of the Gemara there is that even though we don't generally use them on Yom Tov, they're not completely usher, and therefore we can send them in some way. So too, he says, there's a Bach that helps you out your position that says that it's only on Rosh Hashanah that you shouldn't go out with tefillin. I apologize, not Rosh Hashanah. It's only in public you shouldn't go out with tefillin, because it's not the wearing of the tefillin that is the inherent zilzul, the inherent denigration. It's having everybody see it. But if you're in a sort of a courtyard where it's a more private place, you can wear them. Because even though it's true that you're not supposed to, that there's an ode on Shabbat, and therefore you don't need the ode of tefillin, if you want to wear them, says the Bach, there's no actual prohibition on a Torah level. If you don't make a bracha on them, because that making a bracha on them would make it clear that you think of them as a sign of a covenant between you and Hashem, and that's not allowed. But if you just want to wear them, the Bach says, he thinks that's okay. So even though the Rabbanan, you can't wear them before Hashem, in other words, the Bach understands the prohibition and the denigration to stem not from what you're doing, but from what other people will understand you to be doing. They'll understand you to be trying to establish a sign between you and Hashem on this day. And since this day already has a sign between you and Hashem, it's unnecessary, inappropriate, and therefore you can't give that false impression. But according to the Bach, that's only true in the general public place, but in your private home, or even in a courtyard. And I think there it's because it's a more intimate space, and therefore if somebody saw you, they could ask you about it, and you could explain to them that you're not doing it as a denigration of Shabbat or Yom Tov. I think that's what he means, but it's not fully clear, but it's fully clear. He doesn't think there's any prohibition of doing it bitzina, that it's Durabanan prohibition. It's not a Torah prohibition, it's Durabanan prohibition. That Durabanan prohibition was doing it out in public. And if that's true, then obviously there's no muktzah problem with them, because you're allowed to wear them in lots and lots of places. So the Bach held that carrying tefillin and moving tefillin had no muktzah problem to it, and even wearing tefillin, if it was in a private place, had no issue did it. So therefore, all the more so, says the Sitzeliezer, that if you're going to do it in a private home and you're doing it for the purpose of learning how to wear them properly for other times, that you don't have to worry about it. So, not that we generally follow the Bach on these kinds of halakha questions, but they're just saying that's another additional support for the idea that the prohibition is not as absolute as we would seem to see. So, from all of that, and then he says, in coming closer to inclusion, says, and by the way, the opinion of most Rishonim is that, in fact, it's not prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, as the Gedolei HaAchronim have pointed out. So the Shach HaZari talks about it, and so he doesn't get into the question of why we therefore don't wear them. We don't wear them because the custom became not to wear them for this reason. But if you actually look it up, he's saying it turns out that most Rishonim didn't hold of this. It's a practice that became the practice of the Jewish people, but it was following a minority opinion. That would therefore mean that if we're thinking about a case where there's some pressure to wear tefillin, such as here, in order to be able to learn how to wear them for when one becomes an adult Jew, right? So you don't have to worry about it, and you don't have to have any of the worries that we ordinarily would have. You don't have to worry that maybe you'll forget and you'll wear them on purpose, or you'll go out with them. It's also true, by the way, that he says that there's a general perspective among most poskim that anything that you're not allowed to take, wear, or go out to a Rishon HaRabim with, you generally have to go to the courtyard with, as Shach HaZari says there. So here too, if they only said you can't go out into the public wearing tefillin, but you could be able to wear them in the courtyard in all these situations. And therefore, another support for this idea. Not only that, last piece of this thing is that all these boys are by definition under 13. So if they're under 13, it's again, even if they wear them, it's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And as we've said, if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah, there's every reason to think that it's okay in lots and lots of ways. So that adds further piece for it. So based on all of that, the Sitzeliezer says he agrees with the man who wrote him the letter. It's allowed that a teacher in Johannesburg should be allowed to teach bar mitzvah boys even on Shabbos if that's the only time they have an opportunity to come to learn as long as it's that it should be, that the student puts it on and the teacher teaches him how to and the right way, and they're doing it in a private house so nobody has to see it, and in all these situations. And and to remember, this is a piece of it that sometimes I think get lost, to remember as they're doing it that this is a special circumstance and they're being allowed to do it because they're in exile, and by the force of their situation in exile, they can't learn it in a better time, and therefore they have to do something that ordinarily they wouldn't allow themselves to do in all these situations. Then he signs off with a pleasant closing, meaning that you should feel the gullus, feel the exile, right? It's not fine that your life situation means that you can't learn how to put on tefillin other than on Shabbos. And you have to look for heterim, look for avenues of permissibility to live yourself, to allow yourself to live your life that way. You should notice that it's because of where you live. And he doesn't say it, but it seems to be that he's implying, and start thinking about whether that's the continuing place you want to live, because after all, why should you live in a place where you have to make these compromises? So that now every place has some compromise, but the more compromise you have to make because of the place you're living, the more you should think in those terms. That's a broad claim that he's making that comes up in lots and lots of places, but it comes up here as well. It's okay in this situation because of the circumstances involved. It's okay that they're going to be teaching these bar mitzvah boys on Shabbos because of all the things we've already said. But as they do it, they should all of them also notice it's only because where they live and the circumstances they find themselves in, and implied is, if you can change those circumstances, it would be better, as the Rambam famously told the Jews of Yemen after he told them that the fact that they were forced to convert to Islam did not mean that they were permanently outside the Jewish people, and found many ways to comfort them. He then throws in, though, that people in situations of shmad, of where the force of their circumstances means they have to do things they ordinarily wouldn't want to do. So all those things are times to think about. It's time to leave and time to go somewhere else. So here, too, this Tzedezer sort of implies that about this situation as well. They're allowed to. They can do what they need to do, but they should experience the gullus, experience the exile as they're doing it. And that is a responsive day for the 18th of Kislev. I've given you 3 extra minutes today, so you can forgive me for any days that I may have gone over time. Thank you very much. Have a great day. 18th of Kislev, a responsive day. Be well.